This is Ask Me Another, NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Our first guest played David Fisher on HBO's 6 Feet Under and starred in Dexter on Showtime for 8 seasons. He's now performing the one-man show Tom Paine, based on nothing, at the Signature Theater in New York. Please welcome Michael C. Hall.
Hello.
Welcome, Michael.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on Ask Me Another. Really happy to have you on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So I thought it was very interesting that as you were trying to find your way in your acting career, you had a lot of odd jobs. You sold knives.
I did.
You sold suits.
I did. Not very well, but I did.
You sold toys.
I did.
You were a furniture mover and OR recovery room technician.
Basically, I kept the towel warmer full and just did whatever the nurses told me to do. And I took people back to their rooms, which I think technically I wasn't supposed to do, but I did.
Okay. They were like, whatever, that's fine.
Yeah.
Bartender, busboy, what's the gig that sticks with you, maybe haunts you?
Probably recovery room technician.
Yeah.
Just being the first thing people saw when they woke up from anesthesia.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Frightening.
And intubation breath is the worst breath. That first exhale when you're like on the elevator and they're facing up at you and there's just nowhere to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Suit salesman. Was that a good job? Fun?
I was terrible at that job. It was one of the few places I left my application. I got the job, and the next thing I know, I was like marking somebody's suits for alterations. I had no idea what I was doing.
In 1999, you meet director Sam Mendes, who people know from American Beauty and Road to Perdition. He decides to direct Cabaret on Broadway, which was huge.
Right.
And Alan Cummings is cast as the MC.
Right.
He leaves.
Yep.
You are brought in.
Yeah.
And did you tell him at the time that you had formerly played the role in college?
I did not.
So, but just so people know, you did play the role, that role.
I did. I did a workshop of a musical that Sam Mendes directed, and it coincided with him needing to find someone to replace as the MC. The timing was good. He saw something that made him think that maybe I'd be right for it. I was called at noon. I went in at 6 to do what they called a work session, and I found out like at 7:30 I got the job, and then I went to see the show that night. I hadn't seen it before. But I didn't tell them when I came in at 6 after having found out just 6 hours ago that I was going to audition that I'd played the part in college. They were like, wow, he really learned those songs. Quick. And I just was like, yeah, they're catchy. You know?
So you play a serial killer on Dexter. You play this character who's a part of a funeral director family on 6 Feet Under, who is gay.
Mm-hmm.
And you've said that friends and family sympathized more with the serial killer than they did with the...
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in North Carolina, and both my parents are from a very small town and somewhat conservative and maybe just the horizons on certain levels aren't so broad, maybe. But I didn't really appreciate just how much David Fisher freaked my family out until I came home after they'd seen Dexter. And they're like, you're so great as Dexter! You know, I love the way you kill those people, but I hate the way you kiss that man, you know.
Right.
What are you going to do?
I mean, let's be honest. You did play a very likable serial killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I have to imagine your role as David Fisher. I mean, I was just... I savored every single second of 6 Feet Under. And I loved your character. And I imagined that many people watching who were thinking about their identity were very moved to have this on television for them.
Yeah, I think it was a valuable thing for people who were coming of age and maybe struggling with their relationship to their sexuality, coming out, whatever it may be. I hear from people that relationship between David and Keith and that character helped validate something in them and give them permission. And that's like one of the most gratifying things I could ever hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
While you're preparing for the role of the serial killer in Dexter, you like, as I've read, like to kind of get into characters before they are debuted, whether it's on the screen or on stage. And you were lightly stalking people in New York?
Yeah, I was. I killed 7 people. No, I didn't. I didn't kill anybody. I think ultimately, certainly in the case of Dexter, and with any character, an imaginative leap is ultimately required. But I did, you know, have some time on my hands between getting the role and the pilot happening, and I was living downtown, and I didn't even plan it. I was just out eating dinner by myself one night and saw some guy sitting at the bar, and he seemed to be alone, and I just endowed him with a bunch of reprehensible characteristics and followed him around and got on the subway one car away, and it was remarkably easy to follow him. I mean, it was in New York, you know. It's there's probably someone following all of you right now.
Yeah. You were in Lazarus, a musical composed by David Bowie, and the musical is the unofficial sequel to the book and film The Man Who Fell to Earth. You had to sing David Bowie songs in front of David Bowie during rehearsals for Lazarus. What was that experience like?
So the first time I'd met him, I already officially had the job, but I felt like I had to cross this final threshold, of course. And I sang through all the songs with the music director in his East Village apartment, probably about the size of this stage, with a baby grand piano in the corner. And then David, I mean, he came over, but it felt like he materialized, you know? He was just there, head to toe, Alexander McQueen. He had this silver skull on his umbrella. He smelled amazing. He was exactly my height, so his eyes were just right there, you know, and it was mesmerizing. And I had to turn off a part of my brain so that I could, you know, and I was doing okay, and we were shooting The Breeze and everything was fine, you know. I was like little butterflies, but I was okay. And then it was time to sing the songs, and Henry Hay, the music director, started the opening chords of Where Are We Now, a song from the show, and the butterflies turned to bats. You know, I was like, And David, he was seated on a couch sort of in my peripheral vision. I was focused on Henry, and he said something like, "Yes, now sing my songs for me." You know, he just kind of named the absolute absurdity of the moment and really of took the pressure off. And by the end of the song, and this is definitely one of the peak experiences of my entire life, I was singing the final verse, or chorus rather, and I heard these oohs, and I looked, and he had his eyes closed, and he was singing what he had orchestrated as the backing vocals of the song. And I was like, well, I have nothing to be afraid of now. I mean, no matter who I perform this for or whatever, you know, it was an incredible
moment. Right, basically, David Bowie, for a brief second, was your backup singer.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So your latest project is a one-man show called Tom Paine, Based on Nothing, written by Will Eno, who you worked with before.
Yeah, about 5 years ago, I did a play of his called The Realistic Joneses here in New York, and have maintained a relationship and friendship with him since.
Yeah, and this is a solo show. I mean, you're used to working with, I believe, like mostly huge ensemble casts.
Yep.
I mean, how does that feel? Is it terrifying, or you're like, finally?
Yeah, it's all those things. It's exhilarating. It's something that I've always been intrigued by. It's terrifying as well, which is always good to be a little bit scared.
Sure.
Or maybe like 49% scared.
Yeah.
But it's like taking a language ride. Will's sentences, I don't know, this guy speaks in a way that to him is linear, but when you read it on the page feels like it's all over the place, but there's some sort of internal logic for him, and getting inside that is really fun. He says great things. Like, he says things like, "I'm the type of guy you may not hear from for some time, but then suddenly one day, bang, you never hear from me again." good, right?
It's really good.
Like, one of Will's favorite jokes is people laugh when they said I was going to be a comedian. Well, they're not laughing now.
Brilliant. Brilliant. All right, Michael, are you ready for an Ask Me Another challenge?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Michael C. Hall, we Googled you before the show. It's the least we could do.
Yeah.
And we learned a few things, that you're a fan of Radiohead, that you once sold men's suits, and that you once sold knives. So you were going to play a custom version of our favorite game, This, That, or the Other. Ah. I'm just going to give you a word. You're going to have to identify which of three categories it belongs to. Is the word a Radiohead song, part of a knife, or a type of fabric that a men's suit might be made of?
Okay.
And if you do well enough, you and Christy DeLuz from Herndon, Virginia, will win an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube. Here we go. Is Faust Arp a Radiohead song, part of a knife, or a suit fabric?
Is that Faust Harp or Arp?
Yeah, two words, Faust, and then...
Part of a knife.
I'm sorry, it's a Radiohead song.
Oh, crap!
It's from In Rainbows.
Yeah, love that album.
It was one of those pay-what-you-wish albums that you could download from them directly.
Yeah, I paid what I wished. I obviously didn't pay enough.
Is Gabardine a Radiohead song, part of a knife, or a suit fabric?
That's a suit fabric.
It is indeed. Yeah, Gabardine was created by the founder of Burberry, Thomas Burberry. Burberry wanted a material that was breathable and waterproof. What a guy. Tang.
Tang?
Tang. Radiohead knife part, suit fabric. Tang.
Knife part.
Knife part is correct, yeah. That describes how much of the blade extends into the handle, you know, so you actually...
Oh, yeah,
you want, you want full tang.
Yeah, yeah, you want full tang.
You want full tang, because that's the strongest.
Yeah.
Ripcord, Radiohead, knife part, suit fabric.
Radiohead.
That is correct, from Pablo Honey. It is, by the way... Also a linen blend, for those of you just going, wait a second, but not typically used to make suits. Sometimes we have to stop listener letters from flooding.
Smart. Nip it in the bud.
That's right. This is your last clue. Pommel.
Knife.
Radiohead. Knife. That's right. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, great.
That's...
What's the pommel?
It's the knife part.
Yeah, you did great.
Did I do well enough?
You did well enough. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Christine DeLuz and you, Michael C. Hall, are both going to get Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's it. Michael C. Hall is performing Tom Paine Based on Nothing at the Signature Theater in New York City. Give it up for Michael C. Hall, everybody. Want our next special guest to play for you? Follow Ask Me Another on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.